A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 93. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of 11th Hour. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Yes, 11th Hour, a 2006 miniseries from ITV, featuring Patrick Stewart as the no-nonsense scientific investigator Professor Ian Hood, who often gets himself into dangerous situations because of his work and is protected by his bodyguard, Rachel Young, who's played by Ashley Jensen. That's the series we've been talking about and continuing to discuss now.
Absolutely. It had 4 standalone episodes. So I'm not sure if it was really a miniseries because they were separate standalone episodes, but that's how it was done. And we did talk about the first couple episodes last time. So let's continue with that. Episode 3 was called Kryptos, and it dealt with an old friend of Ian Hood who disappears under mysterious circumstances. And there are various clues and things left behind. His work on climate change may be the key to a mystery, and there may be some very big and important things to say about climate change coming from what this friend of Ian Hood had written. But it could also be that the person was simply insane and there isn't much to say about it at all. And Hood is left having to decode a series of clues and riddles in order to figure out what is happening and if there is something to say here from this research.
Yeah, there's quite a few puzzles in this episode for Ian Hood to crack. While he's doing that, I think that he's not the only one who's looking for this information that his friend was working on. And as the race for the sort of the solution hots up, Professor Hood is going to find himself in trouble, and Rachel Young is going to have to try and get him out of that trouble again and again. So quite dramatic stuff as it races along.
That's right. And you get these ideas of, well, is there really something big here? Is it just, you know, a scientist who basically lost it and is now insane? Are there commercial interests here? What are they trying to do? Is there, you know, a very major warning that has to be given related to climate change here? Interesting things in that one.
So that was the third episode, Kryptos. And then the fourth episode was called Miracle. Ian Hood gets involved in an apparently miraculous cancer cure, which people are attributing to the powers of water taken from a local spring. And he gets involved in trying to debunk this, and he gets caught up in the investigation with the medics involved. And there's also his work for the government at the same time, and hints at a sort of darker conspiracy that may be going on. And what seems like a fairly straightforward story to begin with sort of develops all sorts of extra elements as it goes along, Brian.
Yes, it is quite complex, isn't it? And this is the story where they take on the science versus religion, or science versus miracles. And the idea that people are going to this supposedly miraculous spring, and because of that, they are not getting the treatments for what is a treatable cancer, or in many cases are treatable cancers. And people are instead going, you know, trying this miraculous, supposedly miraculous cure. And this is what draws Professor Hood into it. So it becomes quite interesting. And there are some complex things there. It's quite an interesting episode.
Yes, it doesn't go quite as we expect, because Hood, although he works for the government, his investigations here seem to bring him into conflict with the government. So it takes some twists and turns from what seems to be a fairly straightforward debunking story to begin with.
Yes, and of course the morality of it is very much brought to the forefront. Interesting stuff. There were a number of influences on 11th Hour. Gallagher, who created and wrote most of the show, specifically referred to Professor Challenger from the Conan Doyle stories, and also to Quatermass and Peter Brock from the Stone Tape. So both of those from Nigel Neal stories.
But also, we've got similarities with other sort of TV scientists, and in particular, we've got the new Doctor Who. ITV perhaps playing up the similarities to Doctor Who as the brilliant scientist and his glamorous female assistant, which has been very much a feature of the BBC relaunch of Doctor Who. And you can see elements of that in 11th Hour with Patrick Stewart and with Ashley Jensen running around. But also, there's another show which could come up on British Invaders in the future, which, you know, may have had an influence on 11th Hour, and that was Doomwatch from the 70s, which was very much a show about science and the environmental impact and concerns about scientific developments outrunning sort of law and morality. So there's an interesting parallel there, which we may get to in the future on British Invaders.
Yes, it does have a little bit of a feel of a sort of modern-day Doomwatch, you know, 30 years later. It also, of course, harks back to some of the classic double acts and investigation double acts, like Holmes and Watson, of course, in many ways the original. And also the Omega Factor. Late 70s British television had the sort of double act with a man and a woman. Sort of feel a little bit like that. And of course, on American television, there was The X-Files, and there were sort of little bits of similarities that maybe there is a bit of an influence from some of those various things.
So lots of different elements and influences that we can see in the 11th Hour, some of which were quite open and discussed, particularly the influences on Hood's character itself.
Yes, although I think the Doctor Who connection was sort of overplayed. I think that is a little tenuous of a link there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, spin-offs from 11th Hour. We like to talk about those on British Invaders. And there's one spin-off, quite a biggie. The Hollywood producer Jerry Bruckheimer picked it up for an American remake on CBS television. They cast a British actor, Rufus Sewell, playing this time Dr. Jacob Hood. So they changed his name slightly. And Rufus Sewell, we should say, is playing him as an American scientist. So he's doing an American accent for this.
Yes, a British actor doing quite a credible American accent. And we had Marlee Shelton playing Rachel Young.
And then we've got, instead of the four original episodes we have here in the British version, they had 18 episodes in all. Three of them were, I think, revamps of the episodes from the British series. That's Resurrection, Containment, and Miracle, I think, Brian.
Right.
And then they've got 15 new stories added on.
And those 18 episodes are more like 42-minute episodes rather than sort of close to 70-minute episodes than the British one. When they did adaptations of the British episodes, as they did in a few cases, they had to pare them down a little bit because they had much less time, and the British ones were already quite quickly paced. It was a moderately successful run. They originally were booked for 13 episodes, and the run was extended to 18 episodes, but it was canceled after that first season, and it was canceled fairly early, I believe. My recollection of it was that the ratings were not that good, and they sort of got most of it over with in the fall, and by sort of Christmas time or January, it was pretty clear that it was not going to get a second season. But it did get the extension to the 18 episodes, so there was some success there.
And there's also the question, which is whether or not this was more the sort of show that Stephen Gallagher had intended. As we know, and as we discussed in our last episode, he was unhappy with some of the elements added to the British version and wasn't involved as much with the production of the last two episodes. And on his website, there's certainly far more emphasis on the American remake of 11th Hour, which features quite prominently on the front page of his website, and there's more articles about it. So I just wonder if this was more the sort of show he was trying to do. Although, having said that, from the two episodes I've managed to catch of the American remake, it did seem more far-fetched than the British version, and they seem to play fast and loose with the science more than the original did.
Yes, it sort of seemed a little watered down. It lost a lot of the focus on sort of real science and the idea that Hood was interested in things that were tested experimentally and things that had evidence behind them, as you certainly saw in Miracle, where he was strongly railing against the idea of this miracle cure. And it seemed to have less of a focus on that in the American one, So I sort of wonder about where they were going with that, with the American one, and how close it was to what Gallagher wanted to do with it initially.
There was more weird science, it seemed to me, than real science. And it seemed much more like the X-Files, the episodes I watched, than the Patrick Stewart original.
Yes, and I've only seen a couple of the American ones as well. So it's just sort of a bit of an impression we had from those, that it was going a little further off. If you have seen all of the American and British episodes and want to do a detailed comparison or have done a detailed comparison, please let us know. We would be very happy to hear from you about that on the Facebook group or by email. And if you were interested in recording some audio, doing some comparison and some of your thoughts about the differences between the two, we would be happy to have that to use for a bonus episode at some point.
Absolutely, yes. We'd love to hear from you. Do let us know.
Kyoto.
Was that not the name of that treaty or something?
The Kyoto Protocols. They were a set of international agreements that were supposed to limit global warming and reduce greenhouse gases.
Supposed to?
Well, the Americans wouldn't sign up for it. They said they didn't agree with the science.
So we should get to the good and the bad of 11th Hour, the original, and to a certain extent the remake. So Brian, how will you kick us off? What was particularly stood out as good from the 11th Hour?
Well, there were a number of things. I definitely liked Patrick Stewart's performance in this. He was very convincing, and he brought a lot of powerful moments and powerful performances to this show. Ashley Jensen was also very strong with it, and the two main characters really brought us something special in this series. I enjoyed them a lot.
Yes, they are. They're both good lead performances, and they work very well together, don't they? They have a certain chemistry, a certain spiky chemistry, it seems, but it's clear they both sort of look out for each other as well.
Yes, the double act and the character chemistry was very solid, and you know, the timing, both comic timing, in other words, was spot on. It really worked well with the two of them. I was very impressed.
The hard science ideas covered in the show were interesting and varied, and they did seem to me to be trying very hard to keep it grounded in real cutting-edge science, the sort of stuff that was in the news at the time they were making the show. So that worked well.
Yes, there were some very interesting things with that, going into a lot of sort of medical and biological kinds of things, but they also touch on things with the nuclear industry and the politics of nuclear weapons and things like that. So definitely some interesting things there.
Yep. The look of the show is very good, I think, Brian. It's you can see the budget up there. I mean, we mentioned the location shooting and some of the buildings they used were very impressive. And the camera work and some of the quite interesting camera angles and overhead shots and crane shots they used really sort of stuck out for me.
Yes, they ended up wandering around a hydroelectric dam at one point, and they got some very good visuals and very good footage out of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the episode Containment, the sort of aerial shots of the church where this archaeological dig is going on, were very good as well. And there's some chase scenes through traffic with Rachel Young, which are, you know, again, nicely shot, very kinetic, very exciting.
Yes. I like the writing in here as well. The episodes, as we said, are fairly long, you know, clocking in somewhere around 70 minutes or so. And they were also quite fast in their pacing, which meant that there was quite a bit in each one. So they had quite complex plots for the most part, especially in the first one and the last one. And I felt the story and character interactions felt quite film-like. These were like four little films in terms of the visuals and also the writing with the characters and the stories.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. They are like mini movies for the TV. I mean, as you say, we've got, I think, a 90-minute slot, but they're about 70 minutes runtime because these were showing on the commercial network. So there were obviously commercial breaks throughout that over here on ITV.
So those are some definite strong points there. So, Eamon, what do you think might be sort of some weaker points with this one?
It's difficult to say, I think, Brian, actually. I couldn't think of too many. I think, You know, they were certainly trying hard to make it accurate in their scientific representations. There was a couple of points along the way that I raised my eyebrows slightly. Some of the computer stuff in the third episode, Kryptos. It's the sort of computer stuff we're familiar with seeing on TV, which bears no relation to actual, you know, computer use. But it looks better for film and television, I think. Very sort of graphic presentations.
In the visuals of it, that was certainly true. But the fundamentals of what they were doing with the cryptology and what the fundamentals of what they were doing with the computer things in there were actually pretty good.
Yeah. It sort of it wears its influences quite sort of proudly, I think, you know. So we could say it's copying from other things, or we could just say it's, you know, paying homage to certain classical double acts, which we've already discussed, and of course to a classical scientific professor leading the investigation.
Yes, there is some of that, that's true. And I would add that maybe the biggest disadvantage of this was there are only the four episodes. They didn't do enough of them. It would have been nice to see maybe a second run of four of them, or even just a couple more.
It's the biggest weakness of the show, is that there's only the four episodes to watch. And it really felt, as you say, that we could do it some more, and a second series would have been fantastic.
Well, that brings us neatly to the American remake, because in some form, we did get more episodes. We got 18 new episodes on the American one, with a mixture of a few remakes of the British episodes and some brand new ones as well. I know I've watched a couple and you've watched a couple as well, Eamon. So what did you think of the American version?
I think, to be fair, I probably ought to watch a few more, but I wasn't impressed with the two. They've gone for much more conventionally good-looking sort of American-style lead actors in Rufus Sewell and Marley Shelton. And their relationship doesn't seem to have that sort of spiky, almost comedic give and take that we get between Patrick Stewart and Ashley Jensen. So I miss that.
I would agree with that. The character chemistry is quite lacking in comparison. I've also, one of the things that I particularly liked in the British version is that the character of Rachel was not, you know, someone who looked like a supermodel and, you know, sort of carrying on the tradition of sort of, you know, very skinny people who have like the super fighting kind of thing. It seemed much more grounded, and it seemed like she was doing things that were sort of believable, that made sense, that you thought maybe she might be able to bring off. And then in the American, they did go for someone who did look like a model, and it lost some of that feeling of believability and of Rachel Young seeming like a bit more of an ordinary type of person who might actually be doing this.
Yes, I mean, it is a slightly glamorous casting, isn't it? And she, as you say, she's very supermodel looking. And despite the fact that she's playing, I think, an FBI bodyguard is how she's described, she's wearing the high heels, which always strike me on television as how on earth is she supposed to be doing all the running and jumping and kicking that we see her doing in those heels. But that's just a television thing, I guess, Brian.
Yes, it is.
Also hints at a possible romantic interest between the two of them in the American version, which isn't there in the British version. It's much more of a sort of, I don't know, cooperative, slightly spiky but good-humoured relationship between Patrick Stewart and Ashley Jensen.
One of the things that I did really like in the British version was that you had this non-romantic relationship between the male and female lead, and that's something we don't see all that much of, and I thought it worked very well. And it was too bad to sort of lose that, and we, in the American version, did not get as convincing performances from the main characters, and the relationship and the chemistry between them was just not the same. So that was too bad.
Okay. So some differences between the British and the American version, and our main problem with the British version, I think, Brian, being just that it's too short, too few episodes.
Yes, and again, if you know more about the American one than we do and you want to defend it or talk about it on its own merits or compared with the British version, please let us know, and we'd be happy to take a look at what you have to say. That would be interesting.
Yes, please.
I still don't see why it's important enough that we need to get ourselves involved.
It's important enough because there's already a perfectly good treatment for the kind of tumour that this lad has. Now, if because of this rubbish, people stop taking it, then lives will be lost that needn't be. Stop!
Hood, we don't even know where she's going.
No, we know exactly where she's going.
So, if you haven't seen it, then we perhaps should talk about how you could watch this show, now that we've discussed it. So, the British version, 11th Hour, the Patrick Stewart version, is for some reason only available on a Region 1 DVD release from a company called Acorn Media, which raises the question that we've discussed before, which is what's going on with ITV's DVD releases? We discussed this when we talked about The Last Train as to why there was no DVD release, and it seems to me almost bizarre that there's no Region 2 release of this show, which ITV spent a lot of money on, Brian.
And it's not that old. It came out on TV at a time when DVDs of these kinds of things were being released. So ITV has made some strange decisions in the past and at present about what they've released and what they haven't released. Fortunately, in this case, with 11th Hour, it is available, widely available, as a North American Region 1 release.
Which you can get on Amazon here in the UK as an import, currently costing about £13. So not too expensive, but obviously you do need a multi-region capable DVD player to watch it.
Yes, you can also get it on Amazon.com for about $25 or about $32 on Amazon.ca. It is available for rent on disc in the States from Netflix. I'm not sure that it's available as a streaming title on Netflix in the States. I know the Canadian Netflix does not have it streaming, but it is widely available for purchase and rental in various places in the U.S. and Canada. The U.S. remake is available on a Region 1 DVD. You can get that from Amazon.com for about $50 or about $54 on Amazon.ca. It is available on iTunes in a variety of countries, and you can that way get it as the entire one season, the entire series, or as individual episodes. And you can actually get it as a high-definition release on iTunes as well, which is nice.
And it's also the same. It's available on the iTunes UK store, which is where I got the two episodes I watched, about £2.50 an episode, I think, but also the option to purchase the whole series of the American version.
Yes, that was very similar with what I was looking at.
So, having said this is how you can watch it, we as ever get to our question of whether you should watch it. I think we know how we're going to go, Brian.
Yes, the original British version, 11th Hour, definitely worth watching. Check it out. It's recommended.
I think so. We keep it short and sweet. We've been watching some very good stuff recently on British Invaders, and this is another very good show, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Watched it twice now. And as we say, the only problem is that there isn't more of it available.
Yeah, if you're looking for hardcore science fiction, this isn't it. It's sort of on the border of science fiction and straight up drama, because it's this sort of science based thing that deals with science that is sort of just barely existing now or just a little bit in the future. So it is that sort of border area, but it gives us some very interesting drama and some good science to look at as well.
It's a two thumbs up from British Invaders this time.
Yeah, and the American release, I would say, it's there on iTunes. You can check out a little bit if you like, but it is not at the same level as the British one. It's okay. It's maybe worth taking a look at, but it is not the kind of strong recommendation that the British one demands. So, in summary, 11th Hour was a science-based series about Professor Ian Hood, a science advisor to the UK government, investigating the misuse of science and problems with science and things that may be threatening to the public that are relating to science. He had been in enough danger through the types of things he has done and making enemies that he would have the need for a bodyguard. So Rachel Young from Special Branch is his protection, his bodyguard, and maybe even his watcher, making sure he didn't go too far on anything, and his assistant helping in some things. So it is a fantastic little double act investigating strange new things with science.
It's an interesting show, which we think you should check out, and let us know if you do.
Absolutely.
And please jump back and join us next time when we are time traveling again and going to discuss an altogether more quirky show called The Flip Side of Dominic Hyde, and the sequel to this TV play, which was called Another Flip for Dominic. That's from the BBC in the 1980s.
And that will be a fun one to talk about. Interesting sci-fi and definitely some quirky, interesting character stuff happening too. So that'll be fun stuff.
Very much so.
You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com. And you can find us on www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group. So if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. This is Eamon from England, signing off as well.